Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The Switch endured a 2-year journey from creation to making a television channel's lineup in Canada. Now this comedy of coming out transgender plays the United States via smart TV sets and TVX devices next Tuesday. Creator and co-star Amy Fox joins me next. Also ahead, TV goes Cone, I'm talking Cone Brothers, Snowfall gets round 2, TV in My Bones opens tonight, our classic trivia question of the week, and I'll have my thoughts on Disney's smart Netflix moves and the frenzy over Confederate. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, now in its second decade as the program All About Television. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon for the program All About the Tube. 82 degrees at the top of the hour. Wonderful guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And we invite you to be in the conversation. It's so simple. Raise your voice, pick up the phone, and use this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use it. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Before we get to our guest live from Vancouver, Canada, we have two news notes that have broken over the last 90 minutes. And the biggest one of the two involves a pair that have been big in film, but have yet until now to get into their own original television series. Well, it finally happened. Joel and Ethan Coen, the folks behind Blood Simple and Fargo and many more movie classics, are now involved with their first original scripted series through Netflix. The series will premiere next year. It's called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and it's all about a Western anthology or semi-anthology series. While there will be continuing characters, every episode will deal with one chapter of the American West. And once again, Netflix will premiere the series sometime in 2018. The other major news note, Snowfall, the controversial John Singleton-led series about the cocaine trade in its beginnings in the 1980s, has been renewed for a second season on FX. The series has been getting 5 million viewers each week. And that is news notes for today. We said during our 10th anniversary episode 2 days ago that we're living in 3 eras of television. The era of plentiful scripted original programming and unscripted as well. The era of smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Shield, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, etc. And the era of diversity and inclusion on television. And one of the ways that diversity era has been happening, particularly in recent years, has been the introduction of characters and then programs dealing with the transgender community. It all started with such programs as Orange is the New Black on Netflix and Transparent on Amazon and unscripted shows like I Am Jazz on TLC. Well, next Tuesday, the United States gets one of the latest examples of transgender-oriented programming. It's called The Switch. It's a program that took 2 years to get on the air in Canada for 6 episodes, and it's now in the process of trying to get a second season underway. But the first season will be launching next Tuesday through smart TV sets and TV devices carrying Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play. Joining us live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, is the co-star and creator of The Switch, Amy Fox. Amy, thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's good to be here. Glad to be on the show.
As I mentioned, it's been quite a journey to get, first of all, on television in Canada, now on TV in the United States in about a week. How tough a journey was it for you?
Well, making TV from scratch is not an easy thing. TV is a very resource-intensive process, and it's got its own culture of not wanting to take risks, wants to come up with something new and yet exactly the same at the same time, which means that trying to improvise and innovate on several fronts is always difficult. The diversity angle is difficult. The comedy angle combined with the diversity angle was a bit of a tough sell. But fortunately, people who work in television who aren't executives want to see these things happen. We had an enormous amount of support, and now we have a TV series.
Mm-hmm. When did you first decide, I'm going to do this series, I'm going to do about this community, and I'm going to do it in such a way that the whole issue of coming out, the comedy side of it, the funny side or the humor side can be seen?
In 2010, I was part of a comedy routine with my friend Beth, and we both sat down after we'd done this comedy routine. We're wondering, how do we get this out to as many people as possible? And we thought it was simple. I'll make a web series. We didn't realize how hard that was. And we were both trans and both gave a comedy routine about trans stuff, and people loved it. And we just wanted to make something good and open about our community to lift spirits, inspire people, and most importantly, entertain everybody.
Did you and your partner have the chance to see Orange is the New Black or see Transgender or I Am Jazz or shows here in the States that for the first time we're showcasing to some extent this community, what it's all about, that and what these people are out to cause in their life?
Well, actually, when we came out with the idea, Hit and Miss hadn't even come out, and that was with Chloe Savini, who's a cis actress playing a trans woman who's a hit woman, like one of the characters in the show. And we're like, oh my God, someone else had this idea too, minus the actual trans people. And it's been really interesting to watch this change happen in television from peripheral characters on Netflix shows like Laverne Cox, Orange is the New Black, all the way to major characters on network shows like Doubt, also with Laverne Cox. It's really wonderful to watch this change happen, but we wanted to speed it up. We wanted to be part of that change and also get some of that television that's, I guess you could say, ahead of the curve, not just riding this gradual transition, but going, hey, you know what, we're going to have a show about trans people, about the range of humanity, about real issues, and it's going to be a comedy, and it's going to be fun. There's going to be lots of trans people in it, and we're not going to cut any corners when it comes to making really entertaining content about diversity. The watching the change has been cool, but we still feel like we're about a decade ahead of the curve here.
Incidentally, Hit and Miss did appear, I believe, on A&E with Cole Savigny. It got mixed reviews here, but some positive, and it did run at least one season on that network. And I remember Hit and Miss.
Indeed it did.
There was a lot of attention about it here in the States.
Yeah, I remember that.
So when did the series go from being one that would be distributed through the Internet to one that would get on television?
Well, in 2012, we made a web pilot, and Out TV, which is a LGBT-friendly broadcaster in Canada, took a look at it and asked for more. So we made them a TV pilot, shot it in 2013, and aired in 2014. So it's the first scripted television show with a trans lead. There's, I think, a couple of talk shows out there around the world. I think one in Turkey, one in China, that are doing the unscripted end of things. And then we went back and retooled it for a first season. We had to make some significant changes. We amped up the comedy, changed a couple of the cast around, and tightened up a lot of the writing. And I think we've made something really good. But it was a 7-year process, all told.
Mm-hmm. And what was the breakthrough in terms of finally getting a television commitment?
the breakthrough in television commitment was figuring out how to shoot television for not a lot of money. There are a lot of channels that are happy to support and happy to get your material out across the country, and even in Out TV's case, through their over-the-top SVOD Outgo program around the world. But their budgets are what they are, and we just had to get ready to be very smart. So we wrote the show to be shot in an industrial space where people are living, which is something I have done in my actual life, to be smart about extras and stunts, casts, and how many people are in a scene and so on. That's the actual trick out there. There's a lot of broadcasters out there that want to get in on upping their game to make the next level of content. They just need to have a really smart production team to work with. And fortunately, with my business partner, Ingo Liu, and a huge amount of support, that's impossible.
And what channel or programming service finally put the switch on? Or put the switch
on
the switch?
Yeah, it's called Out TV. It's a Canadian broadcaster. It's across Canada here, but I don't think a lot of people get it in the States, but it's also available through Outgo, which is their online component. And now it's coming out on iTunes and Amazon on the 15th, and it'll be on Google Play on September 1st.
And all three of those services are available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices around the United States, whether it is Google Chromecast or Amazon Fire TV, as well as Roku, Apple TV, and Video Shield, among others. We're speaking with Amy Fox. She is the creator and the co-star of the new comedy series, The Switch, which premieres next Tuesday, smart TV style, in all those places. She's with us live from Vancouver, British Columbia, this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Appleman, we're with you live from New York, 82 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted you're with us as we continue the first week of our second decade on the air. And we invite you to be part of the program. If you have a question or comment for Amy, don't be shy. Put the phone going and make your voice go to 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 9-minute episode of our program coming your way on Friday, less than 48 hours from now, and we will kick it off with our very good friends from the New York Television Festival, Terrence Gray, the founder and festival director, and the other director for the first time with us, Aaron Day. And by the way, this is the first time both have been together since we started covering the festival on our very first show, first Monday of August, 2007. Then we'll meet an Emmy Award-winning TV tune composer who's getting a rare showcase in public here in New York. Her name is Lolita Rusmanos. We'll meet her. We'll also have the conductor of the orchestra that will be doing that concert here in New York, Amy Anderson. And guess what? Another composer who will be featured performance will be showcased on public television the following month. That'll be our second segment. And finally, we'll meet someone who's trying to get digital programs on smart TV sets and devices. His name is Scott Fisher. He's the founder of Select Management Group. Among the products he's putting together, the acclaimed Gigi Gorgeous episode on YouTube. So that's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amy, let's talk about the plot of the show. How does it work, and what do our characters deal with?
Well, the show centers around Sue, who is a computer programmer who flees Trump's America to come to Vancouver and come out and start her life over. But 24 hours later, she winds up unemployed and crashing on the couch of her ex, an adorable eco-terrorist. And in this show, in the first season, she is finding community, meeting all the people around her who are also trans, including her roommate who's up to something incredibly illegal involving carbon offsets and a crossbow. And it's over the first season, we watch people adjusting to new lives and new community, whether that's dealing with harassment at work or at school or joining team sports where they're not sure if trans people are welcome or not, or getting into a fist fight that destroys the restaurant when people aren't sure about who's going to be paying for the bill. All normal, everyday things.
And one of the things you were committed to, Amy, was that every transgendered role was played by a transgendered actor. And also, you tried to get as many jobs as possible for transgender people behind the scenes along with you. How much of an issue was that on either side of the camera to get the cast you wanted and to get the crew you wanted?
It's not as big of a difficulty as a lot of people make it out to be. We didn't have a lot of money or a lot of clout, and yet we could find a very large number of excellent trans actors. All we had to do was look like you were hiring for any other job. A lot of the time when people do casting, they go through this very rote process of, well, we're going to put it up on the service that only people's agents who have specific logins where they're verified agents can get it, and then only trans people who have agents can possibly audition for things, and only if they can take time off of work to audition for it right away. And we went, you know what, if we were hiring someone to be like our Facebook coordinator, we wouldn't be, you need to show up here tomorrow, like 12 hours from now and memorize a whole bunch of things. It's like the end of, we're going to put this breakdown out where everyone can see it. We're going to distribute it through the community. We're going to give people a week to turn around their audition. And we wound up with, I think, 71 trans spectrum people auditioning for the lead role. And we wound up with Nyla Rose, who's just this amazing comedian and professional wrestler, in the lead. We also did that for all the other trans roles. And we made sure there was a little bit of training available for people who were a little more green. And what happened was we wound up with these network quality performances. Many networks have failed to do what we've done just because we were willing to put in the time. As far as finding trans crew goes, that was actually pretty easy. People came and found us and were happy to help out. We made a couple of adjustments on the set. We added people's preferred pronouns to the call sheets so that when someone showed up in the day, you knew if someone wanted to be called they or Z or he or she or what. And our cis, i.e. non-trans crew, were really interested and adapted. So there's big, burly grips who have been working in the industry lugging around heavy equipment for 20 years who would start the day off by asking their new crew what pronoun they wanted to use. It's been a really good experience. I mean, it was a lot of work, but it was successful.
Yeah. And putting the scripts together, Amy, was there any inspiration, let's say, among classic television shows or classic television producers and or mm-hmm. classic TV writers and their style that, if not to emulate or copy, but to sort of celebrate?
Yeah, actually, the biggest influence on the show has been Rumiko Takahashi, who was a manga writer in the 80s and 90s who's had her work turned into television series like Ranma and Lum and Inuyasha. That genre of larger-than-life characters doing ridiculous things within a comedy that also has a really strong heart is what we're seeing here. It's not a genre that people have really tried to turn into North American television before, but it was my primary influence. Visually, when we came out with the first season, we came out with it a couple of months after Kimmy Schmidt came out, and we were all sitting around watching this and being like, oh my God, look at the colors, look at the way that the camera work works. And Jem Gerard, our director, went, I completely know how to do this. Because she has a background in music video directing, which was another one of her influences, is looking the way that the music videos are cut and shot together to completely get away from the typical multi-camera format for sitcoms, to really, really play with the camera in a TV comedy, which our camera team did an amazing job with. So we borrowed a lot of from a lot of things that are not traditional television comedy. I mean, the closest that we got was Kimmy Schmidt. Everything else was like anime and music videos.
A lot of people would not think anime or manga would be like inspiration for situation comedies or comedy series. You were the first one, certainly we've talked to in the 10 years we've been on the air and changed, that suggested that.
Manga actually has, and the anime that is derived from it, actually has a rich tradition of playing with comedies where we thought, you know, in North America, like, oh my God, The Simpsons is so groundbreaking, and then South Park is so groundbreaking. Well, it turns out Japan's been doing this stuff for decades with primetime half-hour sitcoms. And there was a lot to learn from that. And the best part about it is the way that the characters have this rich depth and emotional life and interaction that really speaks to the audience. And at the same time, there's this room for play, more so in anime where budgets doesn't really matter what you're drawing. Drawing one thing's as hard as drawing, maybe that's not quite true, but there's not the same restrictions around like crowds or animals or kids in terms of budget.
How did you?
And
I'm curious,
go ahead.
Amy. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, and I'll pop the question.
Oh, the other part about anime and manga is there's this real range of play around gender that's been alive since the 80s with trans characters and gender variant characters and cross dressing characters that people barely raise an eyebrow at. That actually, I guess, in many ways, has beaten North American TV to that angle of diversity by a few decades. I've had a lot of interviews, and this has never come up before, but I realized this really was one of our foundational influences.
How did you want your characters to grow from the first episode to the sixth and final episode of your first season?
Okay, well, we had, a similar experience to Firefly. Apparently when they were making Firefly, they knew they might get canceled at any time, so they're like, every show we have has to be good. We have to have growth, and yet the show has to be self-contained. In our case, we had 6 episodes where we had to tell a good story, so we had to make sure that every character gets their arc both within every episode and over the course of the season. And what we wanted to show was a realistically hopeful narrative. So the show deals with a lot of dark material, but at the same time, it's very optimistic. And we want to show how human beings, both alone and in community, interact with that and the changes that it makes in people and how it makes us grow and become more and richer, but also surprises us and confounds our expectations about who we were and what we thought was normal. And we get to watch our characters go through that.
The Switch is the brand new comedy series from creator and co-star Amy Fox that makes its U.S. debut next Tuesday. If you have Amazon, iTunes, and or Google Play on your smart TV set or smart TV device, you can see The Switch where you are. And Amy is with us on Smart TV Televised this half hour live from Vancouver, British Columbia, where the show is produced. Simon Appleman with you live from the other side of the continent, namely New York City, 80 degrees at the top of the hour. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. If you have a question or comment for Amy, raise that voice. Then dial in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Televised, among our guests, we'll have one of the key people behind Travel Channel, who's executive producing one of their most important new series in quite a while. It's called Caribbean Pirate Treasures, and it has the son of the great person, Jacques Cousteau, the great explorer. Remember him from the Undersea World specials, Cousteau Odyssey? Well, now Philippe is doing his thing, and it's going to be running on Travel Channel later this month. Be sure to join us when Nate Rogers will be joining us live from Travel Channel next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amy, how big is the transgender community in Vancouver compared to Montreal or Toronto, the other major Canadian cities?
How big is it compared to those? It's really hard to say. The trans community in Vancouver has a lot of, I think, very good overlap with general queer activism, blending together LGBTIQATSTG, etc. Interests along with other aspects of lobbying for diversity. We have, for example, there's a queer dodgeball league, and one of the dodgeball teams is composed entirely of people on the trans feminine spectrum. It's good and it's supportive, but at the same time, it's also like very, I guess I wouldn't say fractured in an antagonistic sense, but you do have a lot of parts of it that don't really talk to each other. And we kind of wanted to bring that together on the show. So you do have, for example, some trans people are more tied into that like extended queer community, but you also have, for example, trans people who are trying to have a life outside of the queer community where they're more what's called stealth. They're not out to their friends and family, or I should say family. They're not out to their friends and coworkers as trans at any point. There's divisions across age where there's different generations that have totally different experiences. You have these younger trans kids who have come out in school, or some even don't even remember coming out because it happened before they could form memories. And then you have people who are much older, some of whom have been out for decades and have had actually some pretty hard lives. And other people who are older and only came out a few weeks ago, who are on the one hand feeling sad about the lost time, but also on the other hand feeling like at least they can survive the process now.
Amy, will there be a season 2?
Well, we sure hope so. What we're doing is we are funding season 2 by selling season 1. And while a larger show needs to have a viewership in the millions to remain viable, we're pretty good at being efficient with how we shoot. And yet to shoot season 2 and still pay everyone a living wage, we need to sell 100,000 copies of season 1. If we can do that, then we can make season 2. We have more financing lined up that's good to go as soon as we cross that finish line.
Is OutTV on board to have season 2 if you get the funding?
Yes. We have talked about television. They have definitely demonstrated an interest in picking up and showing more episodes. Yeah, we've also talked with Reverie in the States, which is an LGBTQ webcaster. And we're definitely looking forward to it. We also have we'll expect some support from Canadian government in the form of tax credits because of OUTS involvement.
Mm-hmm. Any possibility that, as far as the United States is concerned, that Netflix or Amazon or Hulu might take the show? Netflix, for example, has been very big in terms of getting Canadian shows on their program, on their service, including Between, the series with Jeanette McCurdy, formerly of I Am Sam, and High Carly fame. So there's a little bit of a precedent there.
Okay. Netflix and Amazon and Hulu are to get on those. There's always an intermediary. I know that this show goes quite a bit in depth into the television process. So there, it's to the viewers, it's a little or listeners, it's a little hard to get a hold of anyone directly. We've been going through a group called Distriver, and we also have some lovely sales agents. But it's actually hard to get a meeting with these people in person because I think everyone's trying to pitch them their content. This being said, Netflix has stated some tentative interest, but they seem to have exhausted their acquisitions budget right now, and we should be getting pitched to Hulu at some point in the next 2 weeks. I would love to be on one of those platforms because that way everyone can see it without – well, everyone can just – it's easier for people to see it. With iTunes, there's that extra step involved, but we can't promise that it's going to come out there, so we'll see.
Well, in the meantime, next Tuesday, the premiere of Season 1 of The Switch will be happening on smart TV sets and smart TV devices that carry Amazon, iTunes, and or Google Play. So check all those services you have, whether it's Roku, Samsung, Vizio, LG smart TV sets, and I mentioned Roku, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, your smart TV set device to see if they have Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play in your lineup. For more details about the series, here's where you go online, it's available worldwide, by the way, www.welovetheswitch.com. That's www.welovetheswitch.com. And once again, The Switch premieres next Tuesday on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play in the United States, all available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Amy Fox, the creator and co-star of The Switch, thank you again for joining us. Congrats on Season 1, getting this launch next Tuesday, and hopefully what happens next Tuesday is the beginning of many more seasons and hopefully many more efforts by producers like yourself to bring more of the transgender community into the mainstream of American television.
Well, thank you very much, and here's to another excellent 10 years of Tomorrow Will Be Televised.
Thank you very much, Amy. I deeply appreciate it. All the greatest. Take care.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye.
Amy Fox, creator, co-star of The Switch, joining us live from Vancouver, British Columbia. More Tomorrow Will Be Televised coming your way, including our classic trivia question of the week. For stay tuned for that. You could win a nice prize. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. In about a month, we'll find out if The Handmaid's Tale gets the Best Drama Prize at the Emmy Awards, which will be hosted by Stephen Colbert, be running in mid-September on CBS. But you don't have to wait to find out about the wonderful Margaret Atwood novel. All you got to do is subscribe to Audible.com, and that book can be yours, narrated by the wonderful Emmy winner herself, Claire Danes. All you got to do is use this URL. At audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You can get one free audiobook like The Handmaid's Tale, a 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So take the chance. And see if your listening really develops for entertainment, inspiration, and information through Audible.com. Once again, that URL, audibletrial.com/televised. Let Audible transform the way you hear the world. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, TV in My Bones premieres tonight here in New York City. We'll update the thing on that in our up segment. And then I'll have some comments about two very interesting developments. First, what Walt Disney announced yesterday, and then that crazy social media reaction to HBO doing a series called Confederate. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Big Bland Radio. It's a great education, and you can catch it Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Bet the Beach is available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, live from New York, where it's 82 degrees right now in the Big Apple. Simon Applebaum here with you, live in Devo here on Blog Talk Radio. Delighted you're with us. We're continuing launch in our second decade this week here at the program All About the Tube. Coming up, we'll have an up segment on TV in My Bones, which premieres tonight here in this very city. And I'll have some comments about the big Walt Disney announcement yesterday, trying to do their own Netflix, and how smart TV sets and devices, I think, play a big role in that call, and the social media craziness over Confederate. But first, it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win a wonderful, colorful collection of magnets from the fine folks at Disney Junior. They're beautiful to have all over the place, refrigerator, microwave oven, stick all over, and great for the kids to use, too. They will enjoy. Here's our question. We first offered on Monday. No winner yet. Let's see if we get one as our second decade begins. Here's the question. Name a TV series starring or co-starring Chris Lemon. That's Jack Lemon's son. Name a TV series starring or co-starring Chris Lemon. I can tell you there's at least three possible answers to this classic trivia question. And if you're first with one of those correct answers, you'll win the magnets from Disney Junior. All you have to do, email me with your answer. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your full mailing address. And if you're first, we'll get those Disney Junior magnets out to you. If you just missed the question, no problem. I will post the question tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter handle at UVC Simon TWBT. That's the UVC Simon TWBT. We've had, by the way, a number of people join us on that Twitter handle, which I use regularly to update you on TV developments and also let you know who our guests are each and every episode. So check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. But right now, we want you to use that email, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Be part of our classic trivia question contest. You never know. If you play in, you just might win. But you got to play in to do it, so do it, and all the very best. By the way, we are working with the publisher of a very interesting new book about a news cameraman that we hope to offer as early as next week as a prize on Tomorrow Be Televised. So stay tuned for details. I hope we will be able to announce that to you on Friday's episode. And now it's time for another round of Up, where we follow up on guests and topics on this program. Lately in our episodes, we've been doing Ups on TV in My Brain. It is the new play opening tonight at Theater for New City for a six-performance run. It will continue through this weekend. TV in My Bones, I should say, not TV in My Brain. Just got in my brain a moment ago. It's TV in My Bones. Like I said, it's a new play opening at Theater for the New City. 5 months ago, we had the creator of that play, Thea Tanson, and the co-star and producer, Phoebe Marr, who, incidentally, both of them, along with another member of the cast, was on BK Live, the last BK Live we did for Tomorrow Be Televised, also late last month. Well, we're happy to tell you, in addition to the play opening tonight, that the Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign that's been going on for a while, with 11 days to go, it's progressing toward its conclusion. The idea is to raise $8,000 for the play. When last we told you on Monday, we said they raised about $6,100. It is now $6,260 with 11 days to go. So they're now 78% of the total raised. And we'll have another update for you on Friday. And in case you don't know, this Saturday at 3 p.m., I'll be attending the performance. And more than that, I will be emceeing a special after-performance discussion of the play with its cast, with its writer, and with Q&A from some of you in the audience. So I hope you'll join me in the audience for the Saturday afternoon performance of TV in My Bones. I think you'll enjoy it, and be happy to meet some of our Tomorrow Be Televised fans in person. If you want more details, go to Theater for the New City's website and check it out. And see if you're in New York, check out the play and see me as well, okay? And again, we'll have an update or up on the crowdfunding campaign. If you want more details, want to contribute to that campaign, go to Indiegogo.com and click in TV in My Bones, and you'll get all the information and all the special gifts they're offering for certain levels of donation. And now, two comments. And if you'd like to be part of the commentary, you can join in with a phone call at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Two comments for you today. First comment. On our 10th anniversary episode Monday, I mentioned that we are in three eras of television that we're very lucky to be living in. The era of plentiful original programming, scripted and unscripted. The era of smart TV sets and smart devices. And the era of diverse, inclusive television. And you can make the case that one era, the smart TV and device era, is having a big impact on how the other two eras of television are going. And if you don't think that's the case, then check out what Walt Disney had to announce yesterday at around 4 p.m. It was a blockbuster announcement, and it was this. We are going to launch next year, and then as soon as possible in 2019, two new programming services that will offer the programming, as they say, direct to consumer. I would say direct to you. The first one has been talked about for a while, the idea of an ESPN supplementary service where you would not only get sports scores and highlights, replays of events that ESPN covers, or programs like SportsCenter, First Take, Mike and Mike, et cetera, but you would get thousands of other sporting events that don't get in on the main national channels owned by ESPN and Disney. Well, that is what is going to happen. ESPN is going to have a supplemental service that will offer up to 10,000 events happening every year from all different sports, for baseball, basketball, hockey, et cetera, all the key college sports, all the key Olympic sports, and so on and so forth. And, of course, some wild, maybe made-for-TV sports as well, maybe even pre-World Series of Poker coverage. You never know. But the other service that was announced, and it was done in the middle of a press release announcing a major equity stake in a streaming technology called BAMTech, which has been around for quite a while. It was the other announcement that really made the headlines, and it's this. In 2019, Disney will launch a general entertainment direct-to-you service, probably available on smart TV sets and smart devices, that will not only bring you the best current Disney and Pixar movies, maybe the Marvel and Star Wars titles as well from Lucasfilm, but it will also bring you a significant quantity of new original movies and programming involving everyone from ABC to the Disney Channel to Disney XD to Freeform, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Bob Iger, the head of Disney, said it big and said it strong and loud and clear, not only in conference call, but the CNBC media reporter Julia Boorstin during the closing hour of Closing Bell yesterday. They are going to make a significant investment in original programming. Doesn't that sound to you like they want to out Netflix? Sure sounds that way to me. And here's the thing. If 60% of the American public was not using a smart TV set or smart device like a Roku, an Amazon Fire, a Chromecast, an Apple TV, etc., to the extent they are doing now and the way the trends are going up, do you think Disney would launch such a service in 2019 to the point of making a bet of taking off all of those Disney and Pixar movies they're currently playing on Netflix? I don't think so. And while Iger did not, in his interview during that conference call yesterday, didn't mention smart TV sets or devices, gotta think that was at the core. And yes, I'm sure he also thought, I don't want Netflix or Hulu or Amazon to get away from what they're doing. We want to be just as big a player in the world as they are. But how do you do it? You do it with smart TV sets. You do it with smart TV devices. And again, when 60% of the American public, U.S. households, have these devices and their usage is going up at an incredible rate, there goes the fire bells. I think Bob Iger heard them and Disney heard them yesterday, and that's why they announced what they announced. Does it mean that Netflix is in automatic trouble? No. Reed Hastings is better for that. He's already making moves to counter the opportunity to lose that Disney film programming. That's why he bought Miller World, that very unique comics and graphic arts studio. And let's not forget that Netflix will still have the Marvel series from Disney, such as the Defenders, which is launching August 18th, such as Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, et cetera, et cetera. that will stay, and new episodes will be made for Netflix. And Iger himself talked to Borsten yesterday saying, hey, we may do more. We may do more original stuff for Netflix. So our Netflix relationship is not going to be totally wiped out as a result of us doing this streaming service. Iger is making a big gamble. He has really put Disney on the line here. And let me tell you, they can make it happen. Disney has the resources. Do not ever underestimate Walt Disney. They got the resources, they got the imagination, they got the talent to pull this off. Is it too late for them to pull it off? That's up to a lot of people's ears. But trust me, they can do it. And they're going to give it a try in 2019, and they're not going to wait until then to start developing the programming. In fact, there's already reports that Disney Channel, ABC, the other divisions of Disney dealing with original programming, they're already at work. The teams are huddling. It's going to be fun to see what happens. And like I said, here's an example of smart TV set and smart devices, that era we are in, dictating the other two approaches. And I promise you that Disney, which has been a big diversity champion, they will really get on the ball with making this streaming service, this direct-to-consumer service from the get-go, be very, very diverse and very inclusive. And if they do it, maybe we will see some other people do it. Don't forget the CBS All Access, and already we've heard from them that they're going to increase the amount of original programming they do. So let's see if some of the other major studios and major players in broadcast television follow Disney's lead. And once again, anybody who thinks that the era of plentiful TV is a flash in the pan, maybe available once a year longer, we know now, Now for commentary number two. Late last month, HBO put out a press release announcing that when Game of Thrones executive producers David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are done with that series next year, they will begin work on a brand new series. It's called Confederate. And before I go any further, I want to read you the paragraph that triggered what I'm about to talk about. And I'm going to read it in its entirety, and this is to HBO, what's so about what Confederate is about. So that anyone who says, I didn't quote HBO, I didn't say this correctly, I have a press release right in front of me, and here's what it says, and I quote, Confederate chronicles the events leading to the Third American Civil War. The series takes place in an alternate timeline where the Southern states have successfully seceded from the Union, giving rise to a nation in which slavery remains legal and has evolved into a modern institution. The story follows a broad swath of characters on both sides of the Mason-Dixon demilitarized zone. Freedom fighters, slave hunters, politicians, abolitionists, journalists, the executives of a slaveholding conglomerate, and the families of people in their thrall. Well, no sooner had HBO come off with this press release than, lo and behold, social media went hysterical. Oh my God, what HBO is doing. Oh my God, what Game of Thrones executive producers are doing. Oh my God, they're going to showcase slavery. They're going to turn the clock back. And woe is us, all the advancements we've made in diversity on television are going out the window. At least that's what you got from the social media crowd. Not everybody, but a good chunk. And that's not all. Some people affiliated with various advocacy groups went to CNN, went to MSNBC, other news organizations, cable networks, etc., and they also got on the mouthpiece to the tune of, HBO, don't you dare put this show on the air. Never mind that it's alternative history. Never mind there have been other shows that have been controversial that found their audience and maybe in their own way, you know, got the critics all off when they were all abuzz about it. Remember the controversy of NYPD Blue? Remember the controversy over The Man in the High Castle? Turned out that was a really good show, even though it had the controversial theme of the Nazis taking over the United States and a good chunk of the world. Or Colony, where the aliens from another planet take over Los Angeles. You're not hearing much controversy about those shows. But, lo, we got to have controversy over Confederate. Oh, HBO committed a cardinal sin. Oh, they should not be dared to put this show on the air. And woe be it if they do. Now, to be frank, I wish HBO could have done more than just put this press release out and then let this bubble of hysteria simmer over. It would have been nice if they got reporters on a conference call with David Benioff and D.B. Weiss and two other people I mentioned shortly who are also involved in the making of this proposed series on the horn so that they could explain in whatever fashion they wanted to what this series was all about and how slavery possibly could be treated. And in all the furor, by the way, about this series, about Confederate, there's a fact that everyone has been missing. And here it is. That also involved with this series are two executive producers and writers who I believe are married, Michelle Trimble Spellman and Malcolm Spellman. Their credits include Justified, The Good Wife, Empire, and the forthcoming movie based on the famous character Foxy Brown. Guess what? They are African-American. They are going to be as involved with this series, maybe more, because they're going to executive produce and they're going to write the series. Wouldn't you think that as African-Americans, they would have something to say about this? That they would understand that slavery is a sensitive subject? And maybe, just maybe, they will do something about it and something creative and something innovative so that those people think, oh my God, we're going to see slavery like roots again. We'll make a different take on it. After all, this is an alternative history series, an allegorical series. It would have been nice, and it's not too late, by the way, for the Spellmans to get on the horn, get in public, and respond to all this criticism calling for off with the heads of HBO. Incidentally, to HBO's credit, at the Television Critics Association summer tour in Los Angeles, which is continuing as we speak, that they did have Benioff and Weiss in a session on their day to talk about this and to talk about it at length. Good for them. Good that they answered reporters' questions. You do wish the Spellmans could have also been involved in that event. And it's not too late for HBO, by the way, to get them involved. We would love to have them on this program along with David and D.B. We would love to have all four involved or just the Spellmans. And by the way, I'm willing also to have anybody who is representing the anti-put this show on the air campaign to be on this program to defend their views. All I'm saying, folks, is don't judge the book by this cover. Get off it. You're wasting a lot of energy here. Wouldn't you like to know what this show is about? Wouldn't you like to see the program when it premieres first? In 2019 or 2020, and then if you don't like it, then say something. But let's get the show made first. Let's get the word about what the show is all about first, and then let's see the show. There are far more things to worry about than a program like this, especially when chances are the social media folks who are complaining have very little clue about what this show is about. They're just sort of following the leader. Not everybody, but they're sort of following, and that's a shame. By the way, it was interesting that Fox News, on their weekly commentary show about the media, Media Buzz with Howard Kurtz on Sundays at 11 o'clock, had a new segment called Media Groupthink, and guess what Howard led off with? Yes, Confederacy. He played, by the way, to his credit, a tape of one of the interviews with somebody who was a Black Lives Matter or a similar group who, again, was calling for HBO to make sure they never put the show on the air in the first place. And by the way, I think HBO is sensitive. I think that they will really work together with the creators, all four, and come up with a show that will challenge the public. And at the same time, I think we'll be sensitive to whatever depiction of slavery or something modern to it will be done. So once again, to all of you who are complaining, take it easy. Give your energy to something else. There are bigger things to worry about right now. Don't worry about a show that hasn't gone into production yet. At the same time, HBO, make a bigger effort to educate us on what this show will do. Get Benioff and Weiss and the Spellmans out in public. Use our program. Use other avenues, whether broadcast, cable, whatever, to get the word out. And the more you do, the more we'll be sensitized, and maybe, just maybe, it might open the door for other shows covering sensitive topics to get their day in the sun and not get hit barrage of not so well informed social media. Again, that's my thoughts. I'm open to your ears. So let me know. I'd love to hear what you think. You can email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. And again, we would love to have the folks from Confederate, the Spellmans, David Benioff, D.D. Weiss, somebody else from HBO. We'd love to have them on this program. The invite is open. And maybe just maybe they'll take it. I hope they will. Friday on Tomorrow Be Tall Guys, we have a 90-minute show to wrap up our first week of decade number two at the Parallel Live Television. Joining us will be Terrence Gray, our good friend from the New York Television Festival, the founder and executive director. And the very first time ever, he will be joined by the festival director, Aaron Day. You could say they are the power couple of television festivals. And they're already in their second decade, quite a bit into it, by the way. New York Television Festival is our first subject back in our very first program in August, first Monday, 2007. And it's delighted that they are being part of our first week of decade number two. Terrence Gray and Aaron Day of the New York Television Festival. Then we'll have Emmy Award-winning TV Tune composer Lolita Rismanos. Remember her work on many Warner Brothers cartoon shows from Batman to Batman Beyond? Well, a non-TV Tune composition is going to be played at a concert here in New York later this month. We will have Lolita, we'll have the conductor of the orchestra doing the concert, Amy Anderson, and we'll also tell you about another composer featured at that very same concert who will be the subject of an event on public television in September. And finally, we'll have the founder of Select Management Group, a company dedicated to getting digital television work on smart TV sets and smart devices, Scott Fisher. One of those efforts is the acclaimed YouTube special about Gigi Gorgeous. That's all coming up Friday, 90-minute edition to wrap up our week. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, if you missed today's episode or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, came in late here, we would love to have you tune in. And if you missed our wonderful 10th anniversary episode from Monday with Platform One Media's CEO, Katie O'Connell Marsh, and John Landgraf, the head of FX, who was speaking earlier today at FX's Day at the TV Critics Tour in Los Angeles, Summer Edition. All you have to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. All of our episodes are also available on podcasts through iTunes and through Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. And remember, we love hearing from you, so please get involved. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. We need our guest today. What's your thoughts about where TV is at, where it's going? Where do you stand on the Confederate issue with HBO? What do you think about what Walt Disney is doing with this general entertainment service that sounds like it's going to try to out Netflix and be direct to you through smart TV sets and devices? Love to hear. So again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to emails within 24 hours. Don't forget, that's how you're involved with our Classic Q&A Question of the Week. It's also a way you participate in our program on a regular basis with our feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV program you think doesn't get enough attention that should? You let me know. We'll give it the attention and we'll give you the credit along with it. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Also, check out my Tomorrow Be Televised column. They run on a regular basis on MediaVillage.com, the website for media analysis and commentary run by Jack Myers, Stuart Elliott, Ed Martin, other people who've been in this program in the past with their own columns, too. It's great, great reading no matter where you are in the TV world. MediaVillage.com, available 24/7. And you can also check out my Tomorrow Be Televised segments on BK Live. The series that wrapped up 4 years on the air last month on Brick TV. You can catch it on YouTube at youtube.com/BrickTV. That's youtube.com/BrickTV. Remember, no matter how you communicate with us, we love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Coe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial, free audiobook, and more, go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday and week. We are back with an animated edition to close out the first week of our second decade on the air this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Whatever you're up to, please be safe and be great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.